This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Anybody who looks at the Cavs and thinks they don't have any chance to win an NBA championship, I think they're wrong. Welcome back to Basket of Phelps. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy's Dan Menigan. Now, the question becomes, do you think the Cavs are a favorite to win the NBA championship? I think that's a different thought and a different discussion than could they? Yeah, sure they could. They've been terrific in the regular season. They could. Are they a favorite? And I would put them in the Eastern Conference, not at number one as the favorite to come out. I would make that team the Boston Celtics. I wouldn't have the Cavs at number two.
Really? Who would you have?
I think the Knicks. I think the Knicks play a style that could give the Cavaliers fits in a playoff series. Even with teams being a little revamped. And then I think the Cavs are next in line, followed closely by the Milwaukee Bucks. So I truly think the Cavs, though they have been dominant in the regular season so far, I don't think they're the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. I think they are a team to beat. The Celtics are still the team to beat. And then I think it might be the Knicks.
I think you're right there on the Celtics. That team is absolutely loaded. They're well coached. The only thing with the Celtics that you could look at as a flaw is that their three-point shooting is good, but
it's extravagant.
It is volatile.
Yeah.
You know, you get into playoff series, and that
if that's not falling.
Right. That's the kind of stuff that gets you in trouble. It's all
even their big guys.
Right.
Kristaps Porzingis and Al Horford shoot threes.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them.
Yeah.
And pretty well.
And pretty well.
The thing of it is with them, though, Dano, and I wonder about this, they have a lot of guys who shoot threes. And I would think, and then they shoot a lot of threes. I would think odds are somebody is not going to be cold on a given night for them. And oftentimes with three-point shooting, okay, if a couple of guys are cold, somebody isn't, you're going to feed him, then it's still you're still going to have that element where you can play the inside-out game. And that's why I think one of the reasons the Celtics have been so successful. Drew Holiday's terrific. White is terrific. That matchup for the Cavs, I just think, is a nightmare.
It's always the thing that we forget about when the playoffs come around, and then all of a sudden it's like we remember it. You know, it's almost like the first snow every year where you have to train yourself how to drive again, even though you know how to drive in the snow, but there's always that like little bit of training.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same way with the NBA Finals, where we all forget that it comes back to defense, and it comes back to teams taking away what you do best and teams taking away what you do second best. And it comes, and all of a sudden, you need to be able to win a lot of different ways. And one of those ways is the mid-range game. In the playoffs, the mid-range game always seems to come back.
And the Knicks, I think, do that well.
Well, but that's the thing with the Celtics, is they've got two guys who can play that way. You got Tatum and you got Brown. Now, Brown, not as much, because when he attempts to perform the art of dribbling, he does it very, very poorly.
I think Drew Holiday can do that, too.
Drew Holiday a little bit, but he's a little bit more floaters than threes at this point. His mid-range game isn't quite honed in enough. I love Drew Holiday, by the way. That's not meant to be.
He's a good player.
And a wonderful person on top of that.
Oh, you guys hang?
No, not at all. But if you look at the stuff he does, he does a lot of great stuff for the community and all that kind of
stuff.
That's true. He's a really good dude.
That's true.
Anywho, so that's the other side of it, that when I look at like that Celtic team, which is so three-point heavy and so volatile, is like, okay, are you able to win a lot of different ways? Now, granted, they hoisted a banner last year, so that would tell you yes, and that team has remained pretty much unchanged. The Knicks part of it is interesting to me. I would put the Cavs second before the Knicks because, and the only reason I say this is right now on paper, yes, you'd probably favor the Knicks with that closing five that they would have. How many of those guys are going to be standing when we get to the playoffs?
You know, you've asked that numerous times. What this is a lot of with the Knicks right now, and folks, do you think the Cavs are the team to beat in the Eastern Conference? No, I don't. Dan doesn't. In fact, I put the Knicks ahead of the Cavs, but it's going to be really competitive. 216-474-0092, the number to join us. The reason I look at the Knicks, and I'm looking at their stats right now, Dan. Their starters, and their starters are Brunson and Towns, Mikal Bridges, who is a great addition, OG Anunoby, who's done a great job for them, and Josh Hart.
I mean, that closing five is nails.
All average 35 minutes a game.
Mm-hmm. Tom Thibodeau.
They've also almost started every game. I mean, they've played, 54 games, and all of those guys have started at least 49 games. So they've been out there. They've been healthy. You know what that is? That's 1980s NBA basketball.
Yeah.
And what happened in the 1980s? Guys played all year. They played tons of minutes, and then they got into the playoffs, and they played even more minutes. So the human body is certainly capable of that. In this day and age, it's against the norm, which makes us all think, they're due to break down. Yeah, well, so are the Cavs, because the Cavs haven't had a major injury. The Knicks haven't had, out of their key guys, major injuries. The Celtics have had a few, with Porzingis being out. But until somebody gets hurt with the Knicks, or until they're completely fried at some point, I'm gonna assume they're, the Lakers of years gone by. Here we go. Same guys are out there all the time.
The difference is that there's a track record of Tom Thibodeau teams starting to find their way into the playoffs and then having guys slowly but surely get injured and drop off and all that kind of stuff because they've just been grounded to dust. I mean, we watched it when he was in Chicago. It would happen to various guys.
Chicago.
We watched it last year with that Knicks team as all of a sudden, Josh Hart's playing 48 minutes a night. Okay, he's down. Jalen Brunson's dealing with a broken thumb and has his thumb wrapped through the whole thing.
Yeah, but that's not from playing too many minutes. That just happens from being,
But these guys just, we've seen it with the Knicks on numerous occasions. Tom Thibodeau grinds these guys to dust. And they all end up getting banged up and injured. When the playoffs come.
What happens if this? Let me give you a flip side. Kenny Atkinson has done a phenomenal job of managing minutes and keeping everybody fresh.
I was going to bring this up.
What if they get to the playoffs and all of a sudden, hey, we want you to play 34, 35, 38 minutes?
What did you see?
Are they capable of that?
Did you see the Mitchell quote? Might have been from like a week ago, I want to say. Where basically he came out and said, I want to start ramping up my minutes to start getting ready for playoff basketball. And it was a really interesting thing that he kind of, and I think he said it during All-Star Weekend, that he kind of started saying that, I think we need to start kind of ramping up a little bit and getting ready for the playoffs and getting ready for having to play 35 to 40 minutes or somewhere in between there.
Except for this. Let me play devil's advocate on that.
Most def.
Okay. That's all well and good. Except that's not how you've dominated the first part of the season. By having these guys play all those big minutes. You've dominated by keeping everybody fresh and throwing guys out there on a regular basis and getting contributions basically 1 through 9, 1 through 10. So is Kenny Atkinson going to change and start playing those guys more minutes? Or does he keep the same approach that's dominated the regular season?
So if we look at his history, head coach of the Brooklyn Nets for a good period of time, did a really good job.
Did a very nice job there.
turning, you know, chicken blank into chicken salad.
Careful.
Right? You know, he did a very, very good job making the best of a questionable situation.
Did not get credit for doing the work that he did right in Brooklyn. I thought he did a very nice job there.
But when he went to Golden State, and as you've deemed it, finishing school with Steve Kerr,
mm-hmm.
What is Kerr always notorious for? During the regular season, he'd play 9-10 guys.
Yeah.
Then you'd start getting into the playoffs, and you'd start getting into the stretch, and that would get shrunk into like 7. You know, where Kerr would end up playing 7 dudes.
It worked there.
The bench gets you to the playoffs. That's what everybody will tell you. Bench gets you to the playoffs. Starters win you the playoffs. Stars will win you in the playoffs. And so I think that's what we're going to see from this Cavalier team is you're going to see that bench shrink. And all of a sudden, you're going to go from playing 10, 11 guys to playing 8, to playing 7, you know, depending on how this kind of stuff goes. And I don't think that's a bad thing. And I don't think that's like a slight to the Cavaliers or anything like that, because the bench has helped them get to this point so that you don't have all of these miles on all of these players.
I would agree with you. I don't think it's a bad thing, but I do think it's a change from the style of basketball that has been so successful for the Cavs. And I would expect it to not be a problem. You know, more of Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, and Jared Allen, you would think can't be a bad thing. I don't think it is. However, Evan's not the biggest guy in the world. Jarrett's not the biggest guy in the world. Maybe if they get exposed to more minutes, maybe it gets them beat up. I don't know. All I know is that what Kenny has done in the regular season for this basketball team has been terrific and has put them in the conversation of, hey, are they a championship contender? Yes. Are they the championship favorite? Neither one of us thinks so.
So
out of the East, even.
So you're gents at FanDuel, right? The folks at FanDuel who put all this fine stuff together. NBA Finals right now, odds, mm-hmm. You ready?
Yes.
Boston Celtics are +175, so you know how that kind of stuff works at this point.
Not really, but that means they're on top.
Cavaliers are 8.5-1.
Okay.
Third best behind Oklahoma City Thunder to win the finals.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. Celtics are the number one.
Celtics are the one.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
Cavs are 2. Knicks.
Well, I have them at 3.
Right? Knicks are 14-1.
Out of the East. No, Knicks are 14-1. Where do they have the Knicks?
FanDuel's not the end-all be-all. It's just one of those that
they
like,
have the Knicks at 5th?
Yeah, 14-1. Oklahoma City is 2nd at 2-1. The Denver Nuggets are 13-1 at 4th. Knicks 14-1 at 5th. Just interesting.
The one thing about this, you often see that teams have to pay their dues. And by paying their dues, like for instance, with the Celtics, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum were together 7 years until they won an NBA championship. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a long stretch. That was 7 years before they won it. Do the Cavs have to do that? Is this something the Cavs have to go through? And the Celtics had a stretch. Well, here, when Tatum came into the league, lost in the Eastern Conference Finals, lost in the Eastern Conference Finals, lost in the Eastern Conference Semis, lost in the first round, lost in the finals, NBA Finals, lost in the Eastern Conference Finals, won the NBA Championship. I mean, that was a long stretch to get there. That's learning a lot. Cavs are in year 3 of that process. Is that enough? Folks, what do you think? Are they legit? Are you thinking this is the team to beat? Dan and I think, yeah, they have a real chance, but they're not the team to beat. 216-474-0092. We'll give you a reason why maybe the NBA thinks they're not the team to beat, and it comes from a longtime writer here in town who was on the morning show this morning and had a comment about that. That's Joe Varden coming up on Baskin and Phelps.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Are the Cavs the real deal, folks? We don't mean real deal like right now in the regular season. Certainly, they've shown they're a phenomenal regular season team. Are they the real deal when it comes to perhaps winning an NBA championship? Jeff Phelps, Dan Menigan in for Baskin today. I've said, I think they have a chance. I think they're contenders. I don't think they're favorites. And I think Boston's still the favorite in the Eastern Conference. They're the champs. They have the experience. They have the roster. They're deep. They're really good. I think they're the team to beat. I think the Knicks are a notch above the Cavaliers as far as the can this team get out of the East discussion. And there's another team we haven't talked about yet, Dana, who I think is kind of sitting there and nobody's giving them credit for being a contender. And that's the Milwaukee Bucks. We had somebody call and scream at us the other day that the Bucks stink and Damian Lillard's old and everything else. Damian Lillard's averaging over 25 points a game. Giannis is averaging over 31 points a game. They get Kuzma. They have Bobby Portis. I think they're interesting. Doc Rivers might not be the greatest coach ever, but Doc has been there before. This team's been there before. I think Milwaukee's a threat in the East as well.
My question with Milwaukee is, A, Brooke Lopez has got to be, what, 37, 38? I know we know more about the human body now, and these guys all have chefs and cryogenic chambers and all that kind of stuff that they use and spend boatloads of money on their body to keep them ready.
He'll turn 37 in April.
But Brooke Lopez at some point is going to slow down and not be the top-tier center that he is. Okay, so then
Is that going to happen by June?
Would it shock you? Would it shock you if a 37-year-old guy got hurt in April?
No, but he's played a lot. He's done a nice job this year. I don't see that as being an issue for them this year.
The other one that comes with that is I wonder when it comes to the Bucks, and I think the Bucks are really good, and they've got the pedigree to do it and all that stuff. Kyle Kuzma is interesting because I wonder if him playing on Wizards teams for the last 3 years, right? 3 years, 4 years, somewhere between there. If that mentality of we're not going anywhere first into 15th, let's everybody get your shots up. Everybody, let's get up and down and get a good sweat on today and not really care about the end result of whatever game this is because we've been rebuilding for whatever. I wonder if that's like now become a mindset that he can't kick. Or if it's as simple as that dude flips the switch and goes, all right, it's like we're back on the Lakers again. Let's get cooking.
Yeah, I don't think players do that very often. Sometimes. He's played four games for the Bucks, 16-8, 8.5 rebounds. Tom's in Garfield. Tom.
How are you, Tom?
How are you?
Good.
Good morning. You guys were talking about the minutes 1 through 10 on the Cavs are playing and then going into the playoffs, so you think it'll probably shrink down to about seven or eight?
I would think so. But that's not what obviously they've done in the regular season that's worked so well. But I would think, I mean, every time you get to the playoffs for any team, rotations usually shrink and minutes go up for the key players.
Well, my comment and or suggestion would be you got, what, roughly 20-some, 30 games left? Start ramping them up a little bit now during the thing.
I think that's what we're going to start seeing, Tom. I think we're going to start seeing as this goes on further and further, you're going to see those minutes start to come up for all of the starters and all of the key bench guys as well. And we're going to start seeing a rotation build that you're going to see in a playoff series.
Yeah, and then, I mean, the other guys, 11 through 15, or 10 through 15?
Yeah.
Still let them get some minutes in there so that they're not totally lost if they're put into a game. But you know, they've done a hell of a job this year with regards to it. But like you said, this is regular season. They should start ramping up the starters and prime guys off the bench. You know, even if it's only, two more minutes a game.
Tom, thank you, buddy.
All right. Well, Jeff, I hate to give you bad news when it comes to the Bucks because this is almost too ironic, and I feel bad saying
Who's hurt now?
According to multiple reports, the NBA has suspended Bobby Portis for 25 games for violating the league's anti-drug policies.
All right, take Bobby Portis out of the mix.
ESPN.
But if you suspend him now, he could be back for the playoffs.
I don't know how many games are left. I don't feel like doing that level of math.
They've played 53. He's back for the final four of the regular season. Isn't that about it? Yeah, that's it. If you suspend him now, he'll miss 25 games. He'll be back for game 79.
Oh, good golly. Okay, never mind.
Boy, he'll be fresh.
He'll be real fresh.
he's apparently self-medicating because of all of the theft of all of the watches out of his house.
Oh, that's such a mess.
Yeah, I know. We'll talk about that. Yeah, Daryl's in North Ridgeville. Hi, Daryl.
How are you, Daryl?
Yeah, gentlemen, how you all doing?
Good, thank you.
Man.
I that's good. I think the Cavaliers are a contender, but you're right. They're not the favorite, and this is what I see with them. We've addressed supposedly one of the most important parts on this team, which is the wing, but to me, that's not the most important position that needed to be addressed. It's your center and your power forward, simply because if Jared Allen comes in, we are now trying to put who in there? Mobley. Mobley can't play center throughout the whole playoffs. He can't play center throughout the whole season. You got Tristan Thompson. Of course, everybody laughs at Tristan Thompson. So we've seen him play. He's done nothing. What the Cavaliers should have addressed instead of signing these two guys that are not going to do anything for the roster and just fill the spot. There was Christian Wood out there who just got waived by the Lakers. You could have signed him and sign a player that's going to be productive coming off the bench. I'm afraid that if one of the two big men get hurt, we're not going to be going very far in the playoffs. It's not going to happen.
I'm with you, Daryl. I would have thought that they would have went out and brought in somebody a little bit more skilled over the height of 6'10" in the buyout market.
And they perhaps they still can. Except it's pretty slim pickings.
But again, we can't continue to be like, you know, bring in players like Kendrick Perkins and don't play them. Just have somebody on the bench just to have somebody on the bench. That's what these two guys are, just to have on the bench. They're not going to be productive. They're not going to be a factor in going forward. They're not. So why didn't you get somebody, just in case Mobley goes down, who can step in and be that real protector, or when Allen goes down, who can be that real protector? Because we are taking Mobley for granted, like he can come in and just play all these positions when he really can't. He can't shoot the three that well, even though he's made some, but he can't shoot the three that well. He can't spread the floor. So we needed somebody who can do that just in case he went out, or somebody who can grab multiple rebounds and block shots just in case Allen went out, because you saw last year what happened when he did go out. We floundered against Boston.
So, Daryl, you still think they're a work in progress?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and Daryl, I get that completely. I understand that. That's, to be part of the – and it's not paying your dues. It's learning how to win playoff basketball. It's not like, well, it's not your turn yet. Well, it can be your turn if you have it all figured out.
Right,
I think it might be a situation where they still have some things to figure out, and they're going up against some teams that have already done that pretty well. Boston, clearly. Milwaukee has some key pieces that know an awful lot about that. New York as well.
I would have liked them to go out and get one more guy over the height of 6'10". I think it would have done him wonders. Like your guy Moses Brown, as much as I hassle you for him, he would have been perfect. And the only reason that guy would have been absolutely perfect is because, yes, he has flaws. He is not much of an offensive player. You really can't switch a 1-5 pick and roll on him and have him stand in front of a guard and think that he's going to be able to hang. I understand all of those things, but sometimes it's really nice to have a big-bodied dude who can just get under the hoop and grab boards and block shots and be a deterrent. And right now, the Cavs, yes, they have Evan Mobley, and yes, they have Jared Allen, but they really don't have a third one of those. You could say Tristan Thompson if you so desire, but I don't know in a playoff series if you're going, all right, Tristan, get out there, buddy. I need 10 quality minutes from you. Like, I don't know if that's a recipe for success at this point in his career.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is, and that's part of the issue here. Nick's in Medina. Hi, Nick.
How are you, Nick?
Hey, good. How you doing?
Doing
just
well.
Calling to say, good. I think the Cavs have a great chance for the playoffs. I think you're right to put, you know, Boston and New York right there. But I think the thing to look at is, you know, in the past when we've been to playoffs with LeBron, you know, yeah, we were at the top of the standings, but they'd always play it up like, oh, Atlanta's really good this year, and then we just sweep our way through the playoffs. I don't think there's a team like that in the East where we're going to get to the playoffs and they're just juggernauts that we can't compete with them. So I think between New York and Boston, it's going to be tight with us. But I think, you know, we won a series last year. I think being at the top of the standings this year has, and the narrative nationally, maybe will give them a little confidence boost to say, hey, we are the guys, we can do this. So that's where I'm at on the Cavs. Go Cavs.
All right, Nick, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we saw it here in Cleveland. Get to the playoffs if you're a veteran team and blah, 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 blah. Doesn't really matter where, you know, where you might be seated, blah, blah, blah. You get in, you have the right guys, the generational types of players. That's the buzzword these days in many sports. The Cavs may or may not have that. They used to with LeBron, and you always thought, just get him in, get everybody healthy. And I think that's where a team like Milwaukee might be thinking, all right, let's
get me into the dance.
Let's get there and let's see where we go. A team like Indiana, not in that category. Team like Orlando, not in that category. Team like Philadelphia, maybe in that category. They're a mess.
They're a real mess.
Yeah, but do you want to play them in the first round?
A little bit. They're openly rebelling against their coach.
I would not. If Joel Embiid is healthy and Tyrese Maxey's okay, and I that's a lot of ifs, but that's down the road. If by chance they come back, because Embiid's been really good when he's played. I'm just saying, those are the types of teams that are just thinking, get us in and let's get a chance here and let's see where this goes.
I am good with seeing the Philadelphia 76ers this year, partially because I don't think we would see Joel Embiid played. I mean, they're already talking he's going to need another knee surgery. Like, they're already talking he needs surgery.
Oh, he's already said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but guess what? A lot of guys in the NBA probably need surgery that they're going to play through until the playoffs. I'm not touting the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm saying is, if by chance they're healthy, nobody wants to play them in the first round. Nobody. If they happen to be healthy.
Okay. If they're healthy, I can kind of see a little bit more.
They're a heck of a lot easier first-round matchups than going up against
that's valid, but
Paul George and Maxey and Joel Embiid.
But I'm not looking at that and thinking to myself, this is going to be a battle.
I would agree with that.
They hate their coach, and Paul George looks like 75% of Paul George.
A lot of NBA teams over the years have hated their coach. They've celebrated with parades. 216-474-0092. We promised a thought from a key writer, Joe Varden, for The Athletic. Joe's thought on what folks around the NBA are kind of insinuating to him coming up on Baskin and Phelps.